get you a tow. Believe me. There are ways, dude. You don't want to know about it. Believe me.
Yeah,
he'll like get you a tow by 3 o'clock this afternoon with nail polish. I'm going to get him a chair.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Okay, man. Oh, my God. This is what's wrong with the day. They're not learning from me. They're not learning from mom.
I didn't hear anything.
Oh, good. Because I just queefed big time.
What up? Welcome back to Uncle Rod's Story Corner. I'm your host, Narado, a.k.a. Rod for short. Hope you're feeling good. Hope you're looking good. Hope you're smelling good. Your boy is fresh off of the old three S's shit shower and the shave. So I am in absolute peak condition right now. I want to send a shout out to everybody listening to the show who hears me on the old Roy Wood Jr., Roy's Job Fair podcast, and with me, Roy, and my girl JG, and we've trickled on over to Uncle Rod's Story Corner. Welcome. I got a fantastic show for you. If you can't tell by the theme song going right now, I will be joined today by the international comedian of mystery, Matt Davis, and I just disclaimer to the government entities listening to this. This is absolutely 100% not the Matt Davis from the CIA. So stay tuned. Welcome back to Uncle Rod's Story Corner. It is time for your main guest, your comedian guest. This comic is a comic coming to me from the most of undisclosed locations. I have absolutely no clue where on fucking earth this man is right now, or even if he is on fucking earth. He's a good friend of mine. He's originally from Birmingham and does comedy all around the globe. Sporting a very magnificent beard right now, thanks to quarantine, I guess. He might have been undercover with somebody. But I also want to stress that he has never been in the CIA.
Thank you.
Please welcome to the show, Matt Davis.
I thank you for getting the clarification off the top. It alleviates.
I want the NSA to know. You can just hit stop on this one. You know.
Yeah. There's no need. There's no need to listen through. There's no intel. There's no intel to be had here.
It's not that Matt Davis.
I would be the most boring follow for them. You know, just millions of dollars aligning satellites, trying to figure out what the hell this guy's doing, and then be like, oh, he's just, that's it. That's all it's.
Oh, he's getting it with the cheese this time. Oh, cool. Glad we're all over this one.
Yeah, there's some poor bastard that had to, like, I'm sure, follow me around Belgrade or something. That's like, this guy, he just eats the bread thing with the sausage and then goes back to his hotel.
Stay on him. It's a ruse. He's just trying to throw us off his scent.
I've had some good ones, though. I've had some good, like, oh, you guys think I'm somebody. You know what I mean? I've had some of those where you almost feel bad. Because I feel like effort was put into this. And it's like, oh, yeah, y'all. I mean, you can search that bag. I mean, not that you need my permission, judging by the machine guns. And you just watch them rip through it. And there's just, I mean, there's nothing to get. You know, they're rifling papers and notebooks. And there's just, there's nothing for them. And they look so irritated. They're almost madder in that moment than anything. As they hand you back your stuff, they're like, ugh.
Yeah. It's always funny to me to see them being so polite when they're armed to the teeth like that. Like, would you mind stepping this way, please? Like, who the fuck is going to say no? Who's going to say no to that?
The counter one is, like, I've had it in India at the airport, and I think it was in Mumbai, where they were, like, same thing, dude with a machine gun in camo, but he's, like, irritated. Like, he's, like, yelling about it, and I'm like, buddy, you don't have to, like, you can just motion. People are going to listen.
Right.
You don't have to be upset right now.
Yeah.
To get anything done. Yeah, you have a grenade on your belt. I mean, people are paying attention. We are focused on your direction, sir. Right.
If I saw a man with a grenade on his belt and a gun like that, I'd just go over and show him my bag unprompted.
Yeah, like, let me just hand you the stuff that I don't feel like I should have. I mean, legally, nothing. But, I mean, I shouldn't have this.
Listen, they checked it back there. You wanna hit this one more time before I go? Give it a old once over.
Then there's the ones where I land somewhere and there's nothing, right? And, like, I'm walking through going, like, somebody should ask me what the fuck I'm doing here. You know what I mean? Like, I'm looking around everybody else in the airport, you know, and I'm like, man, I stick the fuck out here. Someone... You almost want to do the same thing and go over and be like, yo, maybe you miss me, but...
Maybe you're waiting on me to do some bullshit. I'm not here for that.
We can get this out of the way now. Like, I'm going to hand you my phone. Y'all go ahead and put whatever you're going to put on there anyway the first time it connects to a cell tower. Just do it here.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. Hi, guys. Just want to let you know, I'm white. I'm American. I'm going to dump this suitcase out. You go ahead, do what you got to do. I'm going to take a piss.
Yeah.
I'll be back in a couple minutes.
Be back in a little bit.
Oh, God. So the quarantine beard, man. You look like you're loving it.
Well,
are you
going to
keep it? Because you
keep
like
it
you
until
some,
I can.
Some thought into it. You look like you're taking care of it.
No, I'm not. I'm not even, over the holidays was like, dude, send me an address. I'm going to send you this beard oil that I like. And I'm like, oh, no, I'm not that. I'm not trying to start oiling things. I don't know what that means. Like, I'll put shampoo in it, you know what I mean? So it's not nasty. But then I pretty much move on with my day. I'm not trying to get into, you know, minerals and spirits. It's not fine leather.
You gotta put some sage in that tea tree oil and run it through there. Ward off goblins.
Yeah, I'm not. People are really into it, like into their faces, the face hair. And I'm like, this is literally like the least effort I've done with anything. I just stopped shaving. That's all I did.
I want you to grow the hair out, too. That's the thing. I want
you've told me that. Yeah, out. You've told me that before. You want the crazed Doc Holliday. Not Doc Holliday. Back to the Future Doc. Whatever his name is.
You were shaving your head long before I met you in 2010. That's what I want to see grown out. Just let it fly. See what happens.
Just absolute lunatic. That's just an absolute lunatic at that point.
It'd be a great look with the beard.
Oh, with the beard, you know, down to the chest, those the side hairs flying out like a degenerate bozo.
Yeah, like how much coverage do you estimate you've got left up there?
Oh, no, not much. Sides and back.
it would be 60, 65.
Oh, man, no, like the top of my head would just be like sun cancer bullseye, you know what I mean? If I grew that out, it would just concentrate the melanomas. That's all it would do.
That would be top notch. So what's your quarantine been like? What's your COVID
I mean, it's been great. You know, I'm pro-COVID, as you know. Right. No. It's fucking clusterfuck, man. You know this. We've talked about this, not on your show. It's just such... You want my rundown? You want to know where I'll give you my rundown.
Yeah, tell the people. It's not for me. Sorry. We've been talking. I want the listeners to know.
I was in Southeast Asia in February when, you know, by that point, even in Southeast Asia, it was like the whispers of something going on in Wuhan, you know? Mm-hmm. I can't remember if Wuhan was completely locked then or not. There was a point where I was trying to reach friends in Wuhan and couldn't reach them. Like, they weren't replying to anything or whatever while I was in Asia. Then I went to Australia. I was doing the festival in Perth, Australia there. And while I'm in Perth, all of my other Asian tour dates that were supposed to be coming after Australia, like a month later,
all right,
they were just like rapid fire, man, in like a 2-day period going away. Right. And some of them were going away where people were actually contacting me and they were like, we need to try to push this. Right. To further out. Like, right. So guys in Singapore and I went back and forth because we were trying to figure out if we could move it, you know, a couple weeks after originally when the lockdown would be ended, mm-hmm, and all that kind of stuff. And they were going through this rolling cycle of locked and not and locked and not.
Back when we were all naive enough to think we got, you know, 2 to 6 weeks, this would be over with.
No, this is even before that. So this is like February, March. Right?
Early.
So, like, in the U.S., people are like, whatever, man. Like, I'm making plans. Like, no one was even... So then, by the time the Asia tour dates were just, like, gone, you know, 30, 40 cities, just not going to happen. And I had Europe dates later in the year, after that run. I was going to go through the Middle East real quick and then to Europe. And so I started moving my Europe dates. This is while I'm doing the festival, right? Mm-hmm. Which... The Perth Festival is a fringe arts festival. So, like, I'm producing with somebody, with a producer there, myself. Like, we're producing and running, you know, our end of the show. So, it's also, like, I have to be, and not just, like, sitting in a hotel room. I have to be out during the day and doing shit for those shows. And I'm on my cell phone, and I'm moving all of the holes from Asia. I'm moving all of those Europe dates up, right? So that Australia ends, I'll just go straight to Europe. And then, so I'm going to come in through, I think Barcelona was the plan, like Istanbul to Barcelona, and then work Barcelona up to maybe through Madrid. And then I was going to go up into like Austria, Germany, and I was starting to work my way up through Europe that way. And about the time I got all those kind of lined out, like a good shell of 30 cities or so that we're going to fill in the rest of the gap with, that's when Italy hit, right? And yeah. Italy got hit with crazy, crazy. And then Spain, like, right after, pops through my radar, right? And the Spain shows were done. And that's when I realized, like, oh, fuck, Europe's gone. Like, this is moving. You know what I mean? Like, this is not going to... And so I had moved. Now I had, you know, two runs of all this, moving things around. I'm still in Australia, right? And so my shows in Australia end. And I'm just... in Australia. My visa won't let me perform, right? So, you know, I may or may not have still done some things. But I had like offers to go do stuff. My visa wouldn't let me do it.
Right.
And we went through the visa office trying to extend that, and it was like a no, it was not gonna happen. They helped us with one extension and they weren't gonna give me kind of like a wide open thing outside of something tied with the festival. So I was trying to plot, you know, where to go, and talked to some friends in the States that worked with some huge consulting company stuff. And one of them goes, Matt, I'll put it to you this way. All of our financial clients, and their financial clients are like JP Morgan, Goldman Sachs, like those groups. Mm. They're like, they made money moves back in January. And I was like, ah. And they're like, you need to figure out where you can be for 8 to 10 months. So I started looking. And like, or, you know, I went through the cycle of, well, I mean, I could try to do something in Australia. Brendan Burns, the very funny Australian comic, was like, you need me to marry you, man? I'll fucking marry you. I'm like, let's calm down. You know what I mean? Let's not bring nuptials into it yet, Brendan.
It's not Armageddon.
You know what I mean? Like, well, I mean, I'm not, we can work. Let's just hang on. He's so funny, man. And he would have done it. You know what I mean? That's the thing. If I had said yes, that dude would have walked me into a courthouse. I'm married this son of a bitch. He'd have done it for the bit. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, yeah, he'd have done it for that. And I looked at like Hong Kong, but I can only go to Hong Kong. Like, as an American at the time, you can only go for like 90. And I was just in Hong Kong, like getting tear gassed and shit. So it's probably best I didn't go back to Hong Kong and inherit more of that.
You'd have been arrested at the airport. Like, what are you doing back so soon?
Oh, dude, I left Hong Kong like right as shit popped off. And like riot wise and stuff. I was there during like some small skirmish shit. And then when I left, like, I was originally going to leave and go. This is the year before. This is like last October, November or something. And I was originally going to go like the subway to the airport. And last minute, I changed my mind and just took a Uber or whatever to the airport. And then I get to the airport and find out that they had like set the subway station I would have used on fire. And like, and the government says shut all the subways down completely. Like, the airport was super quiet. I'm like, this is weird. And I'm looking at news things going like, oh shit, I would have never made this flight if I had taken the subway. And even my buddies are like texting me like, man, I hope you got out because we're going into lockdown mode 2.0. But I talked about going to Hong Kong. Wasn't going to work. Then I looked at some places that I can go for extended periods of time with an American passport, like Tbilisi, Georgia, which I'm glad I didn't go to because I know Tbilisi got its ass whipped with COVID and stuff.
Does anything ever happen in the country of Georgia?
Man, dude, Tbilisi, like, Georgia's amazing.
Every time I've seen them on the news in the last decade, it started with them fighting with Putin, and, like, I haven't seen any good news out of it. Not even, like, a fucking, like, a pumpkin festival or no shit. Like, it's just always some very fucked up shit when they put Georgia on the TV.
Well, you know, I mean, it sits in that crossroads, right? Of, like, it's this gateway coming from Russia, it's this gateway towards Turkey on one end, and then they've got Azerbaijan over there on, you know, on the lake or whatever.
Right.
They're kind of sandwiched in like a bunch of shady shit around them. But Georgia itself is fascinating. I haven't spent enough time there to really have a good like lay of it, but Tbilisi, the first time I'm in Tbilisi, Georgia, I get in at like middle of the night. I can't get to my hotel. Like, the roads are blocked, right? And so the driver lets me out, but he's, like, trying to explain where my hotel is. And I'm like, I got it. You know, so I'm walking through roadblocks. And I walk across this huge square, get into the hotel. And I have to wait, like, an hour to check in because it was, like, middle of the night. And I don't know if I didn't tell him or whatever. But so I get in the room, crash out. And the hotel room I'm in, like, I'm in a Marriott. And, like, I'm, you know, triple dick jackass with Marriott, right? So I get upgraded all the time, which is funny because I travel with a backpack, you know what I mean? Like, I'll get upgraded to someone that's got like two bathrooms and four closets, and I've got like four things to put in there.
And by yourself.
But dude, I wake up in this hotel room I'm in. It's got like this old ass couch that you would never sit on, right? It's a suite. It looks like every hidden camera video of a politician getting busted for accepting a bribe. That's what this hotel room looked like. Every single one of those videos you've ever seen was a dude in this room. It had to be. And go downstairs, I'm half awake, I walk out into the square, and there's just military everywhere, right? And I'm like having my first coffee, I'm smoking a cigarette, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, this is either like the safest or the worst place to be standing. Like, I don't know which one this is. And it was their Independence Day. I didn't even know that, right? I landed on their Independence Day, and they're getting ready for a parade, you know what I mean? Some big thing. But there's just dudes in camo and guns, and I'm like, none of this shit here was here last night.
Did I sleep through a bombing? What the fuck?
Yeah, I think I slept through a coup. Like, I wasn't even sure. Like, oh, fuck, who's in charge now? Anyway, so I ended up going back to through the U.S. and stuff, and I had to, like, do all that shit.
And just post up.
And now I'm on a tugboat off the coast of Costa Rica, but that's a whole other story.
I can dig it. For the listeners who don't know, right about the same time I was leaving Birmingham for Nashville, Matt Davis was selling all his possessions and leaving Birmingham for the entire globe. I remember we were standing outside the bar talking that night, and you were like, I'm leaving. I was like, yeah, I'm getting ready to move too. I'm going to Nashville. Where you going? He was like, I don't know, man. I'm selling all my shit, and I'm just grabbing my passport and just going to do comedy wherever in the fuck I can get stage time on the planet. And you have not stopped since.
Well, I had done, you know, I mean, by that point, I had done 15 or more years, you know, North America-wise, and just touring, you know, 40-plus weeks a year. And it wasn't, I mean, some of this is probably because I started really young and, you know, basically grew up working for criminals, right? Like, right. In nightclub world. So you get this point where it's like the stuff that I'm writing and the stuff that I'm doing, you know, I had done like the big festival things and all that kind of stuff, but it wasn't where I wanted to be. And I realized like I needed more input. You know what I mean? I just needed more than what I was able to do. I can't go to Wichita for the 47th time kind of thing, right? And feel like I'm, you know, artistically, creatively, whatever it is I wanted. And so I did the World in Jest project. And the way I started that is I booked about a month's worth of stuff. I started with China, which I had been to before. And so I started with a run in China. And then I did maybe about 15 other cities that I had that kind of covered about a month and a half. Mm-hmm. And that's what I left the U.S. with. And then while I was doing those, I was reaching out and booking other shows. A lot of it was four walls, or like I'm getting a venue and a local promoter. We're working together like on a 70-30 and doing all the ads and promo and all that mm-hmm. kind of bullshit. And we kept that going for like 13 months before I said I was going to try to do a year. I did 13 months before I came back to the U.S., which I think we did 20, we just did shy of 30 countries on that and like 100 shows. I've since done like 60 countries. Yeah. But here's a fun one. So 30 countries in a year, land back in the U.S., and they give you the immigration card. On the immigration card, it says, you know, what are the countries you visited on this trip, right? And I just, it's like two lines. And I'm like, that ain't going to work. And I had renewed my passport right before I left. So when we got to the immigration thing, I hand the dude my, you know, passport in the form. And I had written down, you know, as many as I could fill in there. I put all the ones I thought they would want to flag. You know what I mean? Those are the ones I wrote down. And the dude goes, you went to all these places? I went to every place in every stamp in that passport. Right? And he flipped through it and went, huh. And then just handed it back to me. You guys aren't even trying, man.
Yeah, like we're supposed to be in this heightened state of national security, and they want to go through all your shit and give you a cavity search if you went to two countries, and you fucking put 30 on the list. It's just like, all right, cool.
Sounds yeah, he's fun. Clearly just having, it's just clearly somebody having fun.
That was one hell of a vacation, huh, buddy? See you later.
Yeah. Yeah, meanwhile, I've got, you know, Pakistan stamped on there. And... like, how do you have India and Pakistan in the same passport? What did you do?
And China. What the fuck? Yeah.
I got a 10-year to China, although I don't think it's any good anymore. Although, I mean, I got arrested last time I was in China, so, you know.
But you're lucky to be here then. We're lucky to still be able to talk to you. That you should add that to the list. Try to get arrested in every country you go to on the next tour.
No, let me tell you something. Hell no. I've seen. That sounds fun until you start listing off the countries and you go, you know what? I changed my mind.
Let's see how easily you get back into the country when you got all these stamps and a record in all those countries.
And a record, yeah. I mean, just good luck getting out of an Indonesian prison. I mean,
have you ever been arrested in America?
Define arrested.
Have you ever been detained?
Detained? America? Yes.
What's the biggest difference
with and without handcuffs involved?
Yeah, okay, well let's go with the handcuff situation. What's the biggest difference between being detained in the US and China?
Well, I mean, all my stuff in the U.S. was, you know, 20s and being a drunken idiot, right? the main thing about the China one, in hindsight, we were like targeted, right? But in the moment, it was kind of like we're trying to feel through what exactly is going on. Is it just like fucking with foreigners, you know? Because they were asking us if we were doing drugs. We're standing outside this venue. And they're like, are you guys doing drugs? And we're like, no, we're just smoking cigarettes. And it's me and my buddy Muhammad Magdi, right? It's like Ramadan. And I'm like, you're asking me, you know, a teetotaling boor and a Muslim dude in the middle of Ramadan if we're doing drugs. Like, you guys suck at as cops.
Little black tar like heroin tonight, fellas, huh?
10 feet away, there's two Russian dudes, you know what I mean? High on crocodile. And you bother us with this question. While they're talking to us, though, right, I turn around and put my cigarette out, and I realize that there are four cops standing behind us, and that's when I leaned over to Mahaba. I was like, hey, man, we're going to jail. He's like, no, I'm talking through it. I'm like, no, man, we're boxed in. Like, this is not a – they've corralled. They've made a decision there.
Like I thought this was a Japanese thing, but they've got ninjas over here too. We are surrounded.
So they just get us in the car, and they say, please come with us to the station so we can investigate further. Which did not really sound like it sounded very polite, you know, but. Let's be honest. It's not an invitation you decline. So we get in the car, and they take us to the police station, and we go in the police station. They have not patted us down or anything, which I thought was fascinating, right? No one checked us for shit. They're very confident that if we had any kind of weaponry, they're 30 cops deep were fine. That's already a difference to the American concept. You know what I mean? They're like, these two small guys we've got. Don't pat them down. If they have a knife or something, good for them. You know? They'll have a chance.
To make it interesting.
Right. We had a little bit of fun today. So they get us in the jail, and then they take our passports away, right? So that's the first, you know, big difference is this moment where they take your passport away because they're going to go run it and stuff. But you realize, like, now I don't have my passport, right?
I'm fucked.
I'm in this country with no fucking passport, and the cops have it. And now I got to really hope that this cop isn't going to do some fucking shady shit with my passport, like lose it and say he never had it. So Then they come out to us and they go, all right, now come with us to the hospital. And like my initial reaction was like, is somebody with us sick? Like I was completely like, I'm checking Muhammad. You have a fever, man? So they take us to the hospital and I'm actually trying to request my passport back, right? And they say that the cop with us that's taking us, he has your passports, right? So we go with him. Again, we have no real choice here. There's no, like, civil liberties union you can contact. You know what I mean? There's no fucking CCLU is not a fucking thing. So we get in the cop car, we go to the hospital, and you know, walk in the hospital. There's two other people with us as well. So there's like somebody else that my buddy knew and her friend. They're both Russian. And they take us in first. We go in. And they go, okay, we want you to you know, piss in a cup, right? So you go in the bathroom. You got to piss in this cup. And it's just this like 6'5", you know, Chinese cop just standing next to me while you're peeing. I tried to hand him the cup because I can't stop not being a dipshit. I thought it'd be funny. Like, hey, here's the pee you wanted. You know what I mean? But he doesn't speak English, and I don't speak Mandarin with a damn. So we're just in this awkward moment of me handing him a cup of urine and him being fucking mad at me and him yelling and me not knowing what he's saying and me trying. I'm just fucking around, but he doesn't know what that means. So now just we're just arguing in two languages, getting nowhere while there's a cup of piss between us. And he finally pushes me, like, go, take the piss out there. And they test it. And I mean, it's negative. I mean, I don't do anything. I'm like the most boring person on the planet. And they, you know, Mo, the same thing. So we're both sitting there, and we can hear the doctor saying male, 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 which is but like doesn't have, doesn't want, doesn't have, right? So he's basically saying it's negative. And the cop is so irritated, he steps behind the counter, gets his own test out of the bin of tests, and he tests our urine himself. Like, he's so angry. Yeah. And I'm like, man, this cop's going to fuck us, right? Because he's so determined. And it comes back negative, of course. And then they let us, they don't tell us anything, and they have us go back out to the car, and they bring the other two in. And then the cops outside... Mo asked if we could get out and smoke, right? And so they let us out of the cop car, and we're standing around. He's like, we're fine. Like, these two dudes would not be cool with us if we were getting ready to be locked up for 11 weeks. Because getting deported from China for drugs, which is what they said they were looking at us for, getting deported from China for drugs like that, it's, I'm going to say it's 11 days that mm-hmm. you have to do. And then they deport you. But you go from jail to the airport out. So if you live there, you don't go back to your apartment. You don't get your things. You don't clear your bank account out. None of that shit. They take you from 11 days in jail straight to the airport. Get the fuck out. And they send you back to the country of your passport.
Stuff in your pocket.
Exactly. And if you're outside of China, like for people who live there, like... getting money out of China is hard if you have it in a Chinese bank. Like, it's not the easiest thing to do from outside of China. And they'll lock those accounts. It's messy. But anyway, so we get back to the police station. And all this, too, I realized that they didn't have my passport. Like, the guy at the police station still had our passport. And he comes out, and he goes to hand us... you know, the passport back, and he like walks over to me and he stops like 10 feet shy and tells me to get up and walk to him. Right. And I walk to him and like, I grab the passport that he's holding and he does that shit like you do when you're messing with a kid and you don't let go of something. So when I go to take it, he just kind of like squeezed it again. And then he yells, doing drugs in China is illegal. And I'm like, okay, like I'll pass it on. Like,
tell your friends. I don't know why you're yelling at us.
And the best part is during all this, like, you know, the cops are talking to each other and Muhammad's acting like he doesn't speak Mandarin. Right? And so then he, at the very end, he asks them in Mandarin if they'll give us a ride back to where they picked us up. And they yelled at us and said no and kicked us out of the police station. We had to walk like 4 miles at like 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah, to get picked up again.
Yeah, we'd walk back to a moped at 2:30 in the morning, sitting in the back of my buddy's moped. That's always good.
That's the comfort you're looking for after a 4-mile hike. It's a moped.
Yeah. After several hours in police custody and a nice hike.
Yeah. You want to just grab a man around the waist, sit on fucking 8 inches of padding on a moped.
So I think, to answer your question, the big difference is there none of those things happen to any of the times in the U.S.
Yeah, that sucks. It's terrible. So has there been any movement like in the countries you used to perform in about like opening things back up at all?
Yeah, I mean, there are. I think the Taiwan guys are probably doing stuff. There are some places that are kind of going forward doing shows that are still in kind of precarious scenarios. You know, Australia's been doing shows in the not again. New Zealand, of course, has been doing stuff because they're just like, fuck you guys. We had like one case, suck it. And then friends in Europe, man, like they went through like every time every lockdown ends, they open back up and then they get shut right back down again. And then they open back up and they get shut right back. It's like, will you fucking stop it?
They keep opening up like in the UK, like especially in England, like they keep opening back up without like any plan.
Yeah.
It's just like, we locked down for 12 weeks. We're good, right? It's like, it's not a fucking flood. Like, you're not just waiting for the water to drop and then everything's back to normal. But in England, they just keep like, all right, we've been locked down, so we're going to open back up and see what happens. It's like, it's going to surge, asshole. And then, like, it's literally like 3 weeks. And then it's just like, all right, we're going back down again.
It's so insane, man. It's like the Netherlands opened early, right? The Netherlands did kind of like a lockdown, and then they opened back up. And my buddies there were, you know, calling me, going, "Dude, we're doing shows, like indoors, you know, limited seating, it's spaced out, and whatever." No, they're not. They're packing it, right? And but they had British comics because London was completely locked down. There were British comics that were flying from London to the Netherlands to do shows. And just bringing fucking in, just like, it's like, I can't do anything here because we have this whole outbreak going on, so I'm going to leave. Like, what are you talking about?
Right. Not going to get a test. Nobody check my forehead temperature. Just let me in.
So that
I'm
going
to make with the yucks.
Yeah. So that same shit was happening in, like, Germany and stuff, and people, like, hopping from one to the other, like, wherever they could, border-wise.
Yeah. That's like the one thing that's like saving us in America, is because going from country to country over there is like going from state to state here. And so because we don't have such close borders with so many countries, that's like the only thing that just keeps us from helping spread this shit around globally, essentially. Because yeah, over there it's just like going from fucking like Germany to some other countries, like going from Birmingham to Atlanta.
I mean, yeah, you have like, you know, if you're in parts of Germany to Austria, yeah, for sure, or to Switzerland, yeah. It's actually easier, is what's really crazy.
Right.
You can land in Western Europe, man. And this is like an infuriating thing about the U.S. because it's so behind on this shit. But you land in Western Europe and I don't care what city you landed in. If it's big enough for you to have an airport that takes international flights and you land in Western Europe, what other part of Western Europe would you like to go to? You can get there.
Right.
You can series of train that and you can get there. It may not be completely direct, yeah, but you can get from A to B to C. Absolutely. In the U.S., you just simply can't do that. You know, you land in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. You're in Oklahoma now, man. Like, you ain't getting anywhere. You can take a Greyhound? What, you got like a week?
Hit the old mega bus up.
Oh, man.
Take it to Houston. Is the mega Eastern bus still a thing?
I don't know.
It
like,
was hot at the turn of the century. Like into the first decade, like around like 2008, 2007, Megabus was the shit. You could go anywhere in the country for a dollar. I haven't heard anything about Megabus since like 2015, 2016. I don't know if they still operate.
The European equivalent is Flix. So you have they've hinted at trying to make inroads into the U.S., but like Flixbus is, dude, sometimes it's honestly insane. Like, I went from like Luxembourg to Amsterdam for like 12 euros. Now, that took forever to go there by bus. It was not a, like, that's a whole, like, man, you're living on a bus for like 2 days, eating at gas stations, but for 12 euros.
That's what we had with in America at the turn of the century, when everybody, you know, with enough money to buy one 747 started opening up a fucking airline. It's just like, yeah, this is a fun jet. We got two planes, but we'll go any fucking where.
We don't give a damn.
We'll make pit stops. Yeah, we'll go from New York to Miami. We'll get you there for $39. Now, how we're going to do this is, first you're going to fly out to Philadelphia. Then you catch a flight from Philly to Virginia. Then we hit you off in Denver, take you back to North Carolina. Then we'll shoot you down to fucking, we'll shoot you to Tallahassee, back up to Atlanta, then Miami. We'll get you there. $39, baby. What's happening? Free pop.
They basically have a commission system. They have like a kickback system with every sandwich shop and every airport. They have to maximize the number of layovers to make sure that you're buying shitty ham and cheese.
Yeah.
What do you think is the craziest route you've had to pull on some shit like that?
No, one time I was going from Nashville to San Diego, and I went from Nashville to Dallas to Utah.
And Salt Lake.
And then I sat there, yeah. And then I had to sit in Salt Lake for like 4 hours before they would take me out there. Now, one time I was trying to get to, where was I going? Not New Orleans. I was shooting back. I was going to a casino in Mississippi. And I had to go from Nashville to Charlotte, Charlotte to New Orleans, and then New Orleans to Mississippi. And then to fly back to Nashville, I had to go to Florida. I had to drive to Florida to catch a flight in like a small town. Something like wherever they've got a very small airport in northern Florida, like somewhere near like Pensacola. I wasn't too far away from Mobile. But yeah, I had to drive from Mississippi to northern Florida and then catch a flight up to Nashville. Yeah.
If it was just a train worth the shit. You know what I mean? Just like, it doesn't even need to be like a China Japan high speed. Just like one worth the shit.
I want to take a train trip. I'm talking with some people about taking a train trip after COVID ends, but I've been fascinated with train trips to New Orleans.
Okay, the Birmingham, New Orleans train?
No, we're going to go from Nashville to Memphis, and then they've got a Memphis to New Orleans train.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to party it up on Beale Street, spend the night in Memphis, catch the train down to New Orleans, stay for a couple days, and then take it back up to Memphis and then drive back to Nashville.
Can you night train from Memphis?
I think so.
That would be the move. Party up on Beale Street, catch the night train.
Just sleep it off on the train.
Sleep it off.
Yeah. Because I want to, I read this article, I think in like an Esquire magazine or some shit like 15 years ago. And it was about some train trip you can take coast to coast. It like starts in like San Francisco and it goes up, then around, takes you all the way to New York. And then it just swoops back around down through the South and back to Frisco. And it wasn't that expensive. And I was like, that sounds like fun. Because people don't, you know, you and I both, you know, we were born long after the train was the shit. So
yeah.
I don't know anybody who's ever been on a train like that. And that used to be the way to travel until the plane hit so hard.
It would have to be an old article. I'm not even sure you can do that anymore with our current train system in the U.S. Because, like, Amtrak, like, shifted a whole bunch of stuff around. You know, and that's part of, like, Amtrak's issue forever is that it's this public-private, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, company, whatever, it's mixed. But Amtrak's also expensive as shit. So if you want to go from, like, Seattle, and you're like, oh, I'll take a train because I want to, you know, through the Rockies or whatever. I'm going to go from Seattle down whatever the line is to Nashville. Like, that may cost you $2,000.
Yeah, because like no
trains. Like, man, fuck like, that! I'm just going to fly Delta.
I don't think trains run through the middle of the country anymore like that. I think that's what it is. I think that's what Amtrak got rid of. Because like the trip I was just talking about, that shit is a big loop. It does not run. It doesn't run through the middle of the country at all. It's from San Francisco all the way up to like Washington State, and then across through all the states at the top to New York, and then back down the East Coast. And back through the South to the West Coast. It doesn't fucking go through Kansas or none of that shit.
Dude, I did this train trip years ago from New York to Montreal, right? And a buddy of mine was like, I heard the train trip's really cool, right? And I didn't process. I was like, oh, I could take the train, right? And so I was just pricing it, right? And it was like super cheap to do it. So I just booked this train to go up to Montreal. Do shows up there. And I did not calculate. I didn't even look at how long it was going to take. It was like a 13 hour. This is the world's slowest. I was on a fucking choo-choo train, man. Like, we're going around these bends and shit around the cliff, and it's just like, chuk 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 chuk. I'm like, I can walk faster than this. The fuck am I on?
Pardon me, boy. Is that the Chattanooga choo-choo?
Oh, dude, yeah.
The first
train. Yeah, wait. You just can't wait for somebody to jump on with a pillbox hat.
Like,
is
that
conversely,
coal I smell? Oh, yeah. We got a dude been shoveling it since 1877.
Yeah, same guy. Same guy. Same guy. The conversely, I've done the high-speed rail in China, right? I've done the high-speed rail, and I've done the maglev, which is in Shanghai. And the maglev's like zero to, I think it's like 400 kilometers an hour and back to zero in like 15 minutes. And it just, you're just across the city. It's insane. But the high-speed rail there, which is pretty, you know, extends all over the country, I've done that on like decently long trips where you're, you know, coming from somewhere like a Shanghai or Beijing to like another major city. And I've done the Beijing to Shanghai run, which is, I think, it used to be 5 or 6 hours on the train, and it's faster now. I'm not sure what that is kilometer-wise, but it's a lot. The craziest shit about the high-speed rail is you can go on your phone and go on WeChat on your phone and book, like, when we get into, you know, Wuhan, wherever, right? Chengdu, wherever we're going. When we get into the train station, on that layover, going somewhere else, I'd like to have McDonald's. And then you can order McDonald's while you're on the train. You can say what car and seat number you're in. And when it pulls into the station, there'll just be some dude standing there in a McDonald's uniform and deliver that shit to your window.
DoorDash.
Dude, like way before DoorDash. I just had, you'd pull into these train stations and there'd just be 30 fast food dudes standing around with bags, walking up to train cars and windows and handing the food over.
Yeah, that's amazing. Top notch. That's some Sultan shit.
On the other one, I did a train from Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, to Darkhan, Mongolia, which is like, I'm drawing on the screen here, that's like a northern part of Mongolia near the Russian border, right? Mm-hmm. And we're filming this thing with Artger, like A-R-T-G-E-R, which is like an art like film group out of Mongolia that I'm friends with. And we're filming this thing. I went out to like a dude, you know, an actual guy that lives in a yurt, you know what I mean? Like an actual nomadic dude. Mm-hmm. And like did the whole, you know, custom exchange, whatever. And I told jokes to this guy. He didn't speak a word of fucking English. It was the weirdest shit ever. And he's just being polite. Like, man, I got horses to deal with. I don't know why you're here. You had that look. You know what I mean? Like, I have real work to do. He's being very nice. But on the train trip up, I'm with the director. But he and his wife are, like, in one car, and I'm in another car, right? And, dude, we get at a train station, and it's like an old-ass, like, choo-choo train type shit, right? Like, for real. And it's long as hell. It's the only train that's going there, that, like, runs once, and that's a night train. And so we go, we walk down the platform, we walk off of the platform, walk through the gravel. Now we're in dirt next to train tracks. The cars on the train are not in order. It's not like car one, car two. It's like car A, car whatever symbol, car green, car 55, car number two. You're just looking. You're just looking for the car. There's no system of order here. And so we find our car, and like I have to get helped up. Like, because I'm not tall enough to put my foot up on, like, the first rung, because we're on the fucking dirt. Like, trains are meant to pull in next to a big-ass, you know, loading dock platform. Yeah, man, we're in the woods. We're doing this shit from the woods. So get on the train, whatever. And they're in their car. I go in the car I'm in, and there's three other people in there, right? It's a four-bunk sleeper car. And these two ladies and this dude. And we're all just kind of sitting down. So we're sitting on the bottom bunks, and the top bunks are up so we can sit there. And they speak a little bit of English, and we're just trying to talk, you know, whatever. And they thought I was a filmmaker because I'm with him. And they knew who he was, right? He's like a well-known filmmaker in Mongolia. And I was like, no. And he tells them that I'm a comedian. And they all get excited because they know that the only comedians there are my buddies with UB Comedy, right? So they're talking about my buddy Bata and Idrad and all these dudes. And they're showing me their videos, and I'm like, yeah, I know them. Like, I still don't speak Mongolian, but, like, I do know them. Like, I was literally just with them, and now I'm here. Like, but so now we're like, they're like, oh, cool, this is, you know, whatever. And they want to play cards. So now we're playing cards, and this dude's like, I'm going to teach you Mongolian poker, right? And I'm like, sure. So they're trying to explain what they're calling Mongolian poker to me, right? And we're playing, and I'm trying to understand what's going on, and I'm like, we're playing fucking spades. Like, I know what this game is. Right? So now I realize they're calling it Mongolian poker. We're just playing spades. My brain shifts, and now I'm like going back to the last time I played spades, you know what I mean, as a kid at my grandmother's house. And I start beating them at spades, and I have never seen three people so mad at me in my life with a language barrier. We're on a moving train like in the middle of the night. In the middle of the night, in the middle of nowhere, Mongolia, and I am waxing ass. And they're like, they've got that look like, we can kill him and no one will say anything. Now, they're cool, though. They want to start playing for money, and I bowed out. And I was like, nah, you're not going to catch me on that.
Dangerous.
And then, but I get like an hour of sleep. You know what I mean? We stay up playing cards all night. We got chased by I don't know what you call the person in the train car that's the hall monitor or whatever. Because we're like smoking in between the train cars. So it's not even like closed in. So you go out the door and there's like a connecting little bridge to the next thing. It's just open air right there. Like you could fall off of that shit and get run over by a train. There's just no safety protocols. And, we're smoking and she comes out there and catches us and she's like hitting the guy that I'm with. She's like smacking him with like whatever's in her hand. screaming, "You can't smoke," and he's just laughing, full on getting hit. And it's like, "Oh, we're in trouble. We're in trouble." Get chased back in the car. Oh, man, it's ridiculous.
Let's see. Yeah, see, I got to take a train trip. I might need to just take That's a why Mongolian I, train trip.
Yeah, I'm pro train travel. You know, the one I wanted to do years ago, the one I tried to do, I had an issue with a different visa that kind of screwed me up. I wanted to go, you can take the Midnight Express from Paris, and then that'll go through Belarus to, I think it goes from through Belarus to Moscow. It may go through St. Petersburg and back over. I don't remember which way, but you have to have a Belarusian transit visa to do it, which I think as an American, you have to get in the U.S. It's kind of like a whole screwy thing. And you do not want to, they'll let you on that train without it. You do not want to cross that Belarusian border without it, my man. Whew. I know two people that spent like a week in Belarus in jail trying to get the fuck out because they didn't have the right piece of paper. But you go through Belarus, go to Moscow, and then in Moscow you pick up the Trans-Siberian, right? And there's a couple different versions of the Trans-Siberian. There's like a slower one that's like a local train, and then there's like a little bit faster one that's not making all those stops. And I have a friend that took the slower local one, and I forget how long it takes, 2 weeks or something like that. And you go all the way across down by the lakes and stuff, up above all the stands, you know what I mean? And you can catch the Mongolian line, and you come down, and basically from the Mongolian line, you go down, I guess, through Darkhan to Ulaanbaatar. And the whole process can take you like a month, like from Paris to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia.
Wow.
That's the one that I want to do. I still want to do it. And they're going to replace the Trans-Siberian. That's going to become high-speed rail. So if you're gonna do it, you gotta do it quick.
Work on the train.
Yeah, probably.
Taking way more trains than I have. Like, how do you think? Like, how do you think it would go over if you just showed up in the bar cart with a fucking mic?
And oh, that and, maybe not well.
And a speaker. It was just like,
yeah, no, that maybe not comedy. Well.
We could just hang out of here, drink and talk. Why not just make with the yucks, too?
Yeah, I think people would hate that the same way they hate it when you just show up at a fucking anywhere. And it's like, I will now assault you with comedy. Like, man, fuck off.
That's one of the more fascinating things about comedy is that everybody loves to laugh. People love comedy. They like the movies. They like the stand-up. They like to just joke around themselves, but nobody likes to have comedy sprung on them, man. It's
no.
It's worse than doing a practical joke with somebody who don't like practical jokes. Like, if you go in a restaurant, a bar, anywhere, and somebody's just in there doing their thing, and then somebody who works there is like, "Hey, guys, in 5 minutes, we're going to have a comedy show." They get pissed.
Yeah. It's like, because some dude's getting ready to stand up here and assault you, demanding your attention.
That shit is angry, man. People get so enraged at that shit, and it's so fucking funny. Because they'll pack it out. If they've been announcing we're doing comedy tomorrow, people will pack that bitch out. But if you show up and they haven't been pubbing it like that, and you just say, "Hey, guys, comedy show in 30 minutes," them motherfuckers will revolt. Which is always the weird thing about like people like trying to make you perform at like music shows and shit. Like it would like a band starts taking their shit down and while somebody else is ending up like, "Hey guys, we're about to have a comedian." It's like, listen, nobody wants this. They would rather watch the band take their equipment down to hear this shit.
I've opened for some bands. I've opened for some bands and in the right environment it's fine, right? But you've got to be obviously the opening act. And it's like environment dependent, you know? Like I've done big theaters and you're opening for like Dwight Yoakam or somebody and like that's fine. You wouldn't want to try to I mean, I watched Oh, fucking, what band was that? I don't remember their name now. They opened for Metallica on one of those tours. And a buddy was in Los Angeles from England, and like Metallica's on his bucket list, right? To see him live. So he buys tickets. We go to see Metallica, which, by the way, very funny to watch. We go to the Forum in Los Angeles with this very goofy, very funny British dude. And to watch him realize how white trash Metallica's fan base is. Like, in real time, processing the giant trucks and rebel flags and all this bullshit. And he's like, this is white trash. This is white trash, Joe. It's what you brought me to.
Seeing the fucking who in fucking
I don't know what he thought. I don't know what he thought, but it was, he was not prepared for the number of NASCAR t-shirts and mullets. He was not prepared.
He's got his suit pressed, his shoes shined.
Oh, man. The same dude. I almost forgot about this. The same dude. We're on the way to the Forum, and he realizes, he's like, man, I haven't eaten. I got to eat somewhere, right? And he's like, Church's chicken any good, right? And I'm not paying any attention to what he's saying. I'm like, yeah, Church's chicken's all right. Yeah, it's okay. It's not my favorite, but, you know, it's all right. And so he pulls in, and we're on fucking Crenshaw Boulevard, right? And we just whipped into Church's chicken. And I'm like, oh, okay, we're doing this. All right, let me fucking, you know, I'm looking around.
Not this
like,
churches, no. Not this
yeah, let me process my surroundings. Let me make sure I know what's up before we get out of the car real quick. We go in, you know, it's got the bank window, right? You know, bulletproof glass with the vault drawer. And he's sitting there and he goes, this seems a bit unnecessary. And I'm like, you just need to put the commentary, man. You know what I mean? It's just not, let's get your chicken, get the fuck out. And so he orders, and while he's standing there ordering, a dude reaches like over him and starts beating on the glass with his fist, screaming about something wrong with his order, and they solve it, and he just watches all of it, looking back and forth at the guy yelling and the lady behind the counter yelling at him, you know, and he's like, well, this just seems very rude, Matt Davis. And I'm like, how about you not say my name? So then he gets his food, and they give him gets his drink, and his drink is, you know, 64 ounces or whatever the fuck. And he holds it up, and he's like, Matt Davis, this is why everyone in your country is so fat. And I went, yo, man, seriously, no commentary.
Save it for the car.
So I go to walk out to the car, right? And he goes and sits down. And I go, oh, I guess we're going to eat here. And so I go in, and he's like, this place really is disgusting, though. There's, like, no one has swept the floor. And there was, like, straight up, like, newspaper on the floor. It's just shit kicked. You know what I mean? No one's been in that dining room since they opened. And no one's going in that dining room until it's closed. And he's, like, commenting on how dirty it is. And I'm like, Joel, seriously, man, you need to shut the fuck up. Like, I'm not even joking anymore. It's, like, it's not funny. Like, people are fucking staring at your ass because you're making shitty. You need to shut the fuck up. Just eat chicken and be quiet.
That accent, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, the only thing saving him is the accent. Because they're looking at him like, do we hate it? You know, I don't know if we hate it. Like, if I talk, we're fucked. Hit the wrong hit on a southern draw, it's all downhill. But so he goes, why do you think we're going to get stabbed? And I went, stabbed? Like, do you think you're in London? Like, what do you mean stabbed? We're in Crenshaw. Like, they need to make you mixtapes. Like, I don't understand how to help you with this. You're just wildly insulting people that do not like the fact that we are sitting here.
Right. We get shot by accident in Crenshaw, and you yeah. down here talking shit.
And you're yeah, just about it.
Yeah, like it might
yeah he gets shot and he's like, well, this is a bit rude. It's a bit rude. Not
totally
how to aim.
Unnecessary.
Totally unnecessary. You should really train with your weaponry before you fire it. What are you fucking doing? He almost started an argument with a guy when we're leaving. Like, if the guy was like slammed the door in his face. You know, you instead of holding the door for somebody, you fling yeah. it, right? The dude pulled that on him, and he, like, started saying something. This dude's, like, 6'5", and just, like, standing there looking for a reason. And I'm like, hey, man, why not? How about we don't argue with the dude who's intentionally trying to get you to argue with him? That's just a basic life skill. Anywhere in the world,
Yeah. That's a good old-fashioned life hack. That's a pro tip.
don't lean into the dude looking for a problem.
Never argue with strangers who are trying to start an argument.
And so we go from there to the parking lot of the Forum for a Metallica show. Like, it was a pretty good, it's a pretty good culture shock moment for him to go from.
He got the full experience.
I think that was his last trip to America. I think he gave up after that. He's like, I need to go back, man. I need to go back.
It's just like they say on the TV.
Yeah, it's not. That's my other favorite thing is when people from other countries come to the U.S., like, depending on where they're from in the world. And so, like, my Facebook is just, you know, people I've met from wherever. And eventually, you know, they'll come on vacation, you know, non-COVID scenarios to the U.S. And it's the photos that they take and post. Because, like, you know, you go to France, right? You want to get a photo in front of, like, the Louvre, right? Eiffel Tower, you know what I mean? And I shit you not, I have at least 30 people on my Facebook that have gone to the U.S. and taken a photo in front of, like, a Best Buy and sent it back. And then there's like 40 comments, people asking about, are there really that many cameras in there? That's ridiculous. Why is it so big? That's unnecessary. And I'm like, that really is America's cultural contribution, isn't it? Like, yeah. Just giant outlets. Mass is like what our consumption is, our contribution to world culture.
Yeah, that's how they do it. Yeah, dude, TVs, as far as the eye could see, I couldn't believe it. I don't think there's that many TVs in our whole country, man.
Yeah, there's no need. My favorite part is it's always that. There's no need. It's unnecessary. Like, they're not for any of it. They're like, this is a terrible idea. Look at this stupid shit.
What was your biggest culture shock? Traveling.
Oh, fuck, man. Need to be more specific. Like, what do you mean?
I don't know. Like, what was, like... Just your biggest moment of, like, this is not how it's done back home. But in the same wild way as when they see some shit. Like, what did you see somewhere that was just like, holy fuck, this is different. This is insane.
Well, I mean, I guess, like, the first time you deal with, like, different bathroom stuff is, yeah, like, the thing that's, you know, like, that takes you a second. And everybody thinks, when you talk about that, you think, like, Southeast Asia, you think, like, the bum guns, right, as they call them. You think about those things, or the squat toilets, yeah, right, which you'll get in, yeah, parts of Asia, Middle East, you'll see that. The most, and you're going to like this because you're a disgusting person, but the most disturbing thing is the Austrian toilet. Because the basin of the toilet is there's like a deck where you're sitting over, and then it flushes to the front. So it basically, there's like an observation deck. And it's like, it's legitimately so you can inspect it and, I guess, make sure you're not sick or something. And then you flush it away.
It's like a fucking microscope slide.
It's just, yeah, it's just like you use the restroom onto, like, the veranda. You know what I mean? It's like a mezzanine level to the toilet so that it can observe. And then it flushes down, yeah, the front.
You throw a baseball to hit the target and it drops to poop like in a Dunkin' booth.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, it's terrible. And I forget about it. I forget about it every time. And then I'll be in Austria. And I'll just, and then you get that moment. You're like, ah, oh, man, we got to do this every time, don't we? Every time we're here, we just got to be eye to eye with this.
Yeah, that's it. Turn around and drop some paper. And it's just a dry turd sitting up. Like, does that, what the, why are you showing this to me? Oh, yeah, we're in Austria. I've never heard that. That is crazy. But that is like, they should do that here. Like, America's very opposed to healthcare. Like, why aren't we just checking our own poops?
I mean, yeah.
Why
probably
is
that
should. Toilet set? Like, how about you look at it?
Yeah, why don't, yeah, you get a look at it first.
We'll tell you the warning signs of certain sicknesses that come out in poop. You check it out, make sure it's all great before you come bother us and we charge you $8,000 for a Band-Aid. We don't like it any more than you do.
I'll give you one. You say something that's shocking. I'll give you one, something I didn't realize. And it makes complete sense, but I didn't realize it until someone asked me this about the U.S. And I was in Mostar, Bosnia. And after, like, the show, we just did, like, an informal QA thing with the audience. There's a lot of the comics from Bosnia and stuff, like, that were in Mostar, like, came out, whatever. And this lady asked, what is homeschooling? And I went, what do you mean? I mean, it's schooling at home. And she goes, no, but, like, I hear it talked about in movies and on, like, American TV. But, like how is homeschooling a thing? Like, what is that? And so I'm trying to explain what homeschooling is, you know? And I end up giving, like, some joke, sarcastic answer. Like, if you're, you know, if you believe crazy shit, you're scared everybody will make fun of you for it. This is how you get your kids to believe it, right? And then they can validate you. But she pointed out, she goes, that would be illegal here. She goes, it's illegal in most of the world. Like, you can't just teach your own children whatever the hell you want. That's bad for society. And I was like, I mean, it is.
Yeah.
It is bad for society.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. The homeschool, I don't know if it's a thing, weird as fuck when they get out into the world.
I don't know if it's a thing anywhere else. Or that's even, like, an option.
Right. I can't say I've never heard of it. I see people doing homework. I heard about that. But, yeah, I haven't heard about people homeschooling. Like, in other countries, the closest I've heard of homeschooling is people who live in the middle of fucking nowhere and there just is no school.
Right.
Yeah. That's like some medieval shit.
So weird, dude. That's an interesting one. My other favorite is I was in downtown Luxembourg and my buddy Deepu, who is from Chennai, and we're walking. It's like 1:30 in the morning and there's a bunch of people like four blocks ahead of us, right? And he goes, do you see those people up there? I go, yeah. And he goes, those are your people. And I go, what the fuck you mean they're my people? He goes, they're Americans. And I go, how the fuck you know they're Americans, man? He goes, because I can hear them. And he goes, why would I ever need to be able to hear someone that is four blocks away? Why is everyone in your country so fucking loud? And I was like, holy shit, I don't know. I don't know why we're so loud. But you pay attention to it, and it's like, yeah, Americans are super loud. And you can spot it like a mile away.
Yeah, Americans are party people, man. We get into it.
Like, if you're in a museum, if you're in the museum in Paris or something, and then you hear some people talking coming down a hallway, like, they're American or they're Chinese. Those are your two options. That's where they're from.
Well, huh? You got to add your own commentary, man. There's no screens in there.
There's no screens in there. These cartoons don't talk. They just sit there.
What about wild brawls or some shit that you've seen? Like, you ever seen a fight or some shit that you would never see in, like, Boston?
Like,
three dudes
going
at it with bow staffs or some shit. Like, in a McDonald's parking lot.
I think a better one is the almost fight that I saw, which was in not Phnom Penh, in Siem Reap. And we're in Siem Reap, Cambodia, and we're doing this show, and it's like on the fourth story of this building. It's like the rooftop, right? This place, everything about this gig was insanity. So we're like on the rooftop, but it's overlooking like Bar Street. Right, so it's just chaos noise bleeding across the rooftop. It's a giant projector screen, like stage left, playing like an old horror film. Then above, we're on the rooftop, but above the bar is another area. People are seated up there. They're actually like above the light line, right? And then above them, like one more thing up, was a half pipe, and there were people actively skateboarding up there.
Jesus Christ.
Like six stories above the street, right? So the show's getting ready to start, and no one's stopping skateboarding or anything. And then these guys play in pool, and the dude who's hosting the show lived there, but I think he was Scottish, and I'm not placing his name. But he goes up, and he's trying to start the show, and there's a bunch of people there, like, for it. Like, people are there for the show. Like, it's packed for that. But these guys playing pool are obviously not. And he makes a shitty comment to them to stop playing pool and whatever, whatever. But he does it in, like, a very rude way. And the dude takes offense to it and makes a comment. And he says, oh, now I've pissed off the Korean guys. But they weren't Korean. They were Japanese. And they're now super offended that they've been called Korean by this Scottish dude. And in the weirdest move I've ever seen, the dude grabs a didgeridoo. I have no fucking idea where he got it from. And he is pointing this didgeridoo. He's up at the stage now. He's walked up to the front of the stage. And he's pointing this didgeridoo inches from this dude's face, right, while he's hosting the show, screaming, I'm going to kill you outside. And then they quietly leave. And the MC attempts to try to recover this. And it's like, this, bro, you just got a death threat with a didgeridoo. Like, you have to, you can't segue into who's having a birthday right now. It was the most awkward. And he was legit worried. Like, we had, like, security, like, went and checked to make sure those dudes weren't out there. Because they're like, they might be, like, you know, bad dudes. We're in Cambodia, man. I don't know.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's hilarious. That's a long way to go to not be getting into a fight with Cambodians. Like, what? Like, are you in Cambodia about to get into a fight with a group of Japanese dudes that you called Korean?
That you called Korean that are holding a didgeridoo. Like, how right. Like, what?
They're skateboarding and they've got a didgeridoo.
A didgeridoo. Like, I don't know.
Like, who brought that? Who was the Australian dude in the group that had the fucking...
Or did he insult them previously and then they've taken it? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, that guy, the original owner, has been murdered.
Oh, God. That's insane. I remember one time when I was in high school, I saw a dude... we were at City Stages one year. And this guy got slapped. And he took offense to that, as he should have. He took offense to being slapped. So the dude who slapped him took offense to him being offended and slapped him again, took his hat off his head and put it on his own head.
Well, that's, I mean, that's just basic hierarchy. I mean, at that point,
I give you something to be offended about, motherfucker.
And it's my hat now. I mean, that's a lot.
Totally the, my hat.
Cambodia reminds me, if we have time for it, of the first time I went to Cambodia, and I'm in Sihanoukville, which is out on the coast. And Sihanoukville is like, I don't know, I think it's gotten worse. But at the time, it was rough, right? Like, Russian mob basically runs the beach there and the drug trade stuff and all that kind of shit. And I literally, like, walking across the street from, like, the venue to a coffee shop, just a little, like, you know, one-lane street, I was offered multiple types of drugs and people. You know what I mean? Like, you want boys? You want girl? You want heroin? You're like, hey, God, I want a bagel, motherfucker. Damn.
Like a carnival barkers of the dirty underbelly of society.
But yes, like, it was, and this is like noon on a Wednesday. You know what I mean? Like, it's a lot of shady shit going on there. And the venue we're doing was this like movie theater thing. We're doing two nights, and I'm trying to remember if this is the first night or the second night, and I don't remember. But I go over to the venue. And they're like, hey, there's like an issue. We're going to be starting late, you know, I'll let you know, whatever. And so I go, and this is the first night. So I go into the bar, right? I'm waiting in the bar, and that's when they come in and tell me that the hotel, it's like, you know, a street, and then like a row of building, row of buildings, and there's like another grid type street behind it. The hotel behind us that one of the promoters owns is currently on fire, but not like a little on fire. Diesel generator blew the fuck up on fire. And currently, our entire audience is out there fighting this fire. They've gotten every fire extinguisher from everywhere they can get it, right? So I'm just like sitting there. I go out. At one point, I walk over there. I'm like, well, maybe I should help. But I saw the size of the fire, and I was like, I got no business. I'm just going. I'm going to burn something. No. So I leave. They get the fire out, and they come up to me, and they're like, "All right, man. Well, everybody's kind of like taking a breather, but like we're ready to start whenever you are." And I'm like, "I'm pretty sure it's on you guys. Like it's not even on me." So they come in, dude. That room reeked of smoke. Dude in the front row has soot on his face from fighting a fucking fire, right? So while I'm on stage doing this, right before I went up, I heard a scuffle, like an argument in the hallway. And then I go up, and then when I get off stage, I learn what has taken place. And that is like one of the guys running the venue, the owner of the place where I was staying, which was a partner promoting the event, his business partner, who's a Khmer guy, so a guy from Cambodia, showed up with two friends and wanted to come in, right, and watch the show, not even knowing that it started late or anything. He thought he was just coming in, whatever. And the guy running the door says it's, you know, sold out and you can't come in. And he starts arguing with him. It's not sold out. I can come in, right? Because in his businessman mind, this is my show that I'm, you know, helping fund or whatever. So they get into a back and forth. A fuck you gets said, right? Which to the Kamaya business dude, like, you've now embarrassed me in front of these people twice. So he starts coming unglued. And like his friends are trying to calm him down. And it ends where he's screaming, like, I'm going to kill you, motherfucker. I'm going to find you in the market. Like, all this insane shit's going on. But the dude he's saying this to is this British dude who took the threat so seriously, he left the venue while I was on stage, went back to his apartment, and was currently packing. Like, when I got off stage, that dude was at his house packing all his shit up and left in the middle of the night because of who this guy is, right? And, like, this dude will seriously have him killed. So I learned all this, right, after doing a show for the smoke-filled audience, right? And then we go back across the street to the hotel where I'm staying, go to the bar there, and we're talking to those owners about it. And they're like, man, he's drunk. Maybe he'll forget about it. He got super offended. You know, we told him we've got him in for tomorrow night. No big deal. He's kind of calming down. He's still pretty pissed, but he's just drunk, right? And then in walks dude, right? So he comes in. And he's fucking high as a kite. He's not drunk, man. He is coked out of his fucking mind. And he decides that I'm his best friend somewhere in all this, right? He says some fucked up joke to me that didn't make any sense. Like, you ever hear a joke and, like, I don't know if you ever had this experience, but, like, you know it's racist. Like, I know what you said was a racist, hateful thing. I just don't know what any of those words mean. But I know the intention. It was one of those, right? And so I'm like, ha, 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 that's great. And he's, you know, we're buddies now. And then one of the opening acts, he decides needs to come party with him because he's like a younger dude. You have to party with us. So they're going to go to the beach and party, which is where the Russian mob runs the fucking beach. And then the other promoter guy, he left. And the other guy was like, I'm worried that he's like going to go take this dude to the beach and party and then fucking kill him because that guy left. Like, I really don't know. And I'm like, we got two more shows? God damn. What have I gotten into?
This is night one?
And the crazy thing about that place was during all of that, no one was like excited. You know what I mean? Like, no one was excited by this. no one was like freaking out. Everyone was just kind of like, I mean, yeah, the hotel's on fire, so we're dealing with that. And this guy wants to murder Jerry. So
it happens.
That was the bar. That was the same place I told you, I think, that I'm sitting there in the middle of the day and there's nobody else in there except me. And the Hell's Angels out of Bangkok are playing pool.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they leave, but like just got real quiet and they left. I thought it was weird. I said to the bartender, I go, that's weird, right? Like 12 bikers just quietly left. He's like, oh, they're freaked out because that guy over there is who Interpol's looking for. I'm like, Jesus. And there's some dude on his laptop that apparently Interpol's trying to track down. And the bikers were like, fuck that. We can't be here when they show up.
Yeah. Yeah, you know you into some shit when the bikers are scared.
Yeah. The Hell's Angels from Bangkok are like, eee.
That's a that guy's icky. Looking fella over there.
Yeah.
I don't want any of that noise. Fucking insane. Well, do tell the people where they can find you online, man.
Oh, you can't anymore. nah, badfamiliar.com is website. And then I'm usually just replying to you on Twitter at Matt Davis. I just wildly insult people and then reply to Nerado about whatever the fuck he's talking about.
Pretty much.
Well, you should do more on Twitter. And I'm like, why? Like, oh, that's pretty much all I enjoy is arguing with, not even arguing, just telling Nerado that he needs to stop whatever he's saying. Like, that's, come on, man.
It's a good time. Well, I appreciate you coming on the show, man.
Yeah, man.
Well, there you have it, folks. I hope you enjoyed the show. I hope you laughed. I hope you smiled. I hope you learned something. Hope it put you in a good mood. If you're already in a good mood, hope it put you in a better mood. Had a lot of fun. Big shout out to all my guests and telling some great stories. It's a real good time, man. Anyway, you know, check back in with us soon. We'll have an all new episode going. I want you to know I love you, and I hope you love yourself and love everybody else. The number to the National Suicide Hotline is 1-800-273-8255. The number to the Trans Lifeline is 1-877-565-8860. Hit them up if you need to talk about some things or something's troubling you. Hell, hit me up. I don't really sleep until the sun comes up like a vampire. So hit your boy up, man. If you got my number, call me. You know, when you need to talk, text me. Hit me up on Twitter. Hit me up on Facebook. Hit me up on Instagram, whatever. You can email me at rodforshort@gmail.com. And if you're feeling generous, hit your boy with a donation on the Cash App. That's Cash Tag, $, Rod for short, R-O-D, number 4, S-H-O-R-T. Hit me up on Venmo at Nerado Moore. And I think that'll do it, man. Holla at you.